you join. I got things to do today. I can't have a beer.
Okay.
We are back. Season two.
Recording.
And we got a bit of a new format we're trying out today. And we're just going to start.
Yes, we do.
Chatting about some things. And let's talk
what
about.
What are we talking about first? Hit us.
I've seen a lot of chat about the YouTube dislike button. And I know we all have some thoughts on it. Who wants to say what they feel first? Because there's a lot of opinions out there.
I'd love to hear Emilio's thoughts on this.
No. Let's hear it, Asif. I want to wait for you. Let's go. I'll go ahead.
My thoughts on it. I honestly didn't even care. Didn't even like look at dislikes, to be quite honest. When I pull up a video, I didn't know so many people actually like, you know, went into a video and checked the dislike to like ratio and then decided to watch it. I had zero idea, because when I open a video, I kind of just like title, thumbnail, okay, looks good, I'll click on it and I'll just watch it. If they don't like, you know, answer whatever I need answering in the first like 30 seconds, then I'll kind of just hop around and then I'll click off. But I've never really looked at the dislike to like ratios, to be quite honest.
I'm exactly the same. When I saw people saying that they did and that was how they judged whether they were going to watch a video, to me it's like, well, that's your, like, someone else's opinion is now, you're letting someone else's opinion determine whether you're going to watch a video or not, which seems really off to me. Like, that doesn't seem right. Now, the official reasoning that YouTube is doing it is they don't want like this dislike culture to come in. They pretty much don't want what I figured people were doing, is where they would click on a video, nope, dislike, I don't like it either, get rid of it, not watching it. They don't want that to happen. So that's the one of the official reasons that they're doing it. But it's still going to be viewable to us as like makers, so we can take that as positive feedback, I guess, even though it's
or negative.
Negative, yeah, whichever way you want to look at it. But it's odd. It reminds me of what Instagram did with likes. They're just trying to put a mask over our eyes and make us feel like everything's okay, in a way. But I don't know. What do you think, Emilio?
Okay, first of all, the thing that doesn't make sense when I saw all these updates was that we are removing dislikes because we found out two things. First of all, that a lot of viewers, when they see a lot of dislikes, they're going to pick on the dislike and they're going to move forward. But also, we saw a lot of creators feel very depressed and very sad because they see dislikes on their videos. So YouTube decides to remove the ability to show the dislikes, but the creator again is going to feel depressed because he's going to watch, for example, in a terrible video that he got 50 dislikes and 10 likes. So again, the creator is going to be depressed. He's going to be, what am I doing here? And yeah, on the other side, I was very impressed because for me, the most important thing on that was that there are viewers who press likes or dislikes based on what the other people do. And that for me is very frightening. To understand that we saw a lot of creators on Twitter especially say, yeah, for me it's a go-to or a no-go. If I see a lot of dislikes on this tutorial, and I'm doing tutorials, I'm not going to watch the tutorial because it's a sin, you know? It has a lot of dislikes. So what's going
on? Would you say it's more a move for viewers opposed to, like, I feel like it's not a positive thing for creators. I'd say it's more a thing to encourage people to watch more content. Would you not agree? Like, that's basically what it's doing at a really high level. We remove the dislikes. You're not going to be able to see them. So hopefully you'll watch this video for a little bit longer before you click away. Right?
Yeah. And, you know, the only problem that I believe that a lot of creators told is that by removing the dislike count, the videos that are they are clickbait or they're trash are going to get more attention. But again, I completely agree with Tasif. Like, when we watch a video, when we choose to watch a video. And I had a recent conversation with Lila. And she told me that, you know what? I have an hour or an hour and a half in my day to watch YouTube videos. I'm not going to watch everything. And I'm going to choose very wisely to what I'm going to watch. So if a video, and this is also a subject that on a future episode we could cover. Should we make videos like Mr. Beast is doing? Or should we make videos like a movie? Do we, like
a
Hayden Smith gave, do we give the food from the beginning, or do we let the viewer work to see what are we doing here? That's a topic on its own.
I mean, we can we're go there cover it. If you want to. Like, it's kind of an elaboration of this in a way. I've always felt like the information that they give out is really, really great, but I don't know if it applies to every niche. And I think we all take on that information like, oh, I've got to do fast-paced edits. I've got to make sure that there's a change of shot every 2 seconds so the viewer is always engaged. But it's like, what if you're not making a video that has a $2 million budget and you're giving away $500,000? Like, do you need to have all those cuts on there? Like, I don't know.
You know, there is a perception, and my wife told me, because I was watching this video with my wife, and she told me, you know what, this video is wrong, because it's very different to watch the Nemo, a movie.
Right.
It's very different to go to YouTube to watch a video to learn how to edit in Final Cut, for example. So this doesn't work to every different video or a gear review. Because imagine right now we're having a conversation, and the beginning of this podcast was, in this podcast, you're going to listen to what we're going to say about the YouTube dislikes button. So if you want to have it, and blah, blah, blah. See you. That's it.
Yeah.
So someone is going to say, yeah, I'm not interested in that. I'm not going to watch.
Yeah.
Do you think it has anything to do with like the age of people viewing? Like, what's your guys' average age of people that view your channel? Do you know off the top of your head? Like the biggest percentile, what is
25
it?
25 to 34.
Yeah, you're same as me. Yeah. You same, Deceive?
Yep.
Yeah.
Big question. Why we don't attract the youngsters? We are boomers. That's why. Why I don't see any more 13 to 17? No more.
What scares me about that is that we're all in that same category. Emilio, how old are you?
36.
Deceive, how old are you?
31,
and I'm 35. So... Yeah. To see if you're the only person that's actually making content relevant to people your age. Emilio and I are like now above the people that like we're getting to that point where we're like we're almost irrelevant in a way. That's something that scares me.
I feel like yeah. Okay, so there's a part of the audience that as you grow older, So for example, all the younger generation that's grown up watching like Mr. Beast and Minecraft and everything, as they grow older, as they go to uni, sure, they may still have those tastes where they're gonna watch all of that stuff. But I also feel like tastes kind of develop and they change over time, right? Because I was never into camera equipment or anything like that throughout even uni. Like I could care less. Like if I saw like a camera video or like an editing video, I had zero interest in it. Suddenly after university, after I started working, it piqued my interest. And now like that's like a lot of what I watch, right? Editing and camera stuff. So I think it's also based on just like interests and demographics. And like, you're not gonna see a lot of younger people that might want to, you know, pick up a camera and start shooting unless they want to start their own channel, right? So I think those kind of tastes will develop. But yeah, for sure, like a large population, I feel like the channels that kind of cater to the younger population do have that advantage where they may still have those tastes as they grow older. But then again, like if people are watching like toy channels or something like that, I doubt they're going to watch that same toy channel once they, you know, grow up and go to like high school and whatnot, right? Unless they really are into those interests still.
That's true. That's a really good point. And I'm sure you can probably think of, like you start to get to know the same people that comment on your videos over and over. And I can think off the top of my head people that used to comment that no longer do. So I think you're right in saying that like the cycles of audiences as they go through different interest phases in their life.
Or we're just getting uglier and older.
That too. Definitely that too. And you're getting hair in places that you no longer thought you'd get hair, like on your ears and like...
Or you don't get hair. Oh my God. Or you don't places have hair, where you used to have hair.
Which is the better option.
You know, YouTube. I think that a lot of creators, especially in the past 2-3 months, that we're seeing a very huge decrease in views, are trying to see what the fuck is going on with YouTube, what we're not doing right. And if we see, and I try to dive very deep into the analytics to see what's going on with my channel, why content that I used to do doesn't work anymore, doesn't bring viewers, why other kind of videos bring viewers. And I'm starting to realize that when I see that I don't have a lot of 13, 17, the age group on my group, and the 25, 34 is more than the 18, 24, that means that the youngsters, the the population that they watch a lot of YouTube doesn't choose to watch us.
Right.
So it's going to be very difficult as the YouTube progresses in the future to have a lot of views if we don't crack that. And my question is, are we going to do tutorials like Mr. Beast? Are we going to do like, it's going to be funny, right?
Yep.
And the first who is going to learn the new effect, I'm going to give you $1,000. Yeah, it could be an idea. Prove it to me that you learned the effect.
I think there's definitely a large component of that we can learn from, right? Like, obviously, it's not like a template that we can take. Okay, this is how you make a video. So when I went to VidSummit, like, that's the same thing. Like, a lot of these people were talking about, you know, how to make videos more attractive, how people watch and everything like that. And a lot of people that went up to speak, they were in similar niches like Mr. Beast, right? Like Ryan Trahan and like a few other people that we watch. They're doing more like I don't want to call it extreme content, but it's like you know what I mean, right? It's like extreme content in the sense that where it's like, oh, I built the largest tower, or I lived off of one penny for like 2 weeks, right? Like it's like. Because people no longer want to watch like middle of the ground content, like you have to start going to the extremes where it's like you have nothing and you try to survive or do something, or you have like a lot and you're giving it away to someone or like doing
that's
like
how
competition.
That's how our life is gonna be if we keep getting these views. I try to survive the month. Being a full-time YouTuber.
yeah.
I was a YouTuber for a week. I almost died. Yeah.
That would be good.
My counter argument to that is, though, I think it's because of the videos that we're watching. Like, there, if you go out there, there is content that is the very like slow paced, still beautiful. Like Craig Adams, for example. Like, do you guys watch him?
Amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
Like, and he gets extreme amount of views on every single video. Like, not like Mr. Beast standard, but huge amounts, like way more than enough to make a living on. So it's out there. It's just we've got to find a better way to appeal to the audience in a slightly different way, I guess.
Let me ask you: do kids watch us right now? Probably not, right?
Not us? Under 18. No, we're not interested. Yeah. We're boring.
Okay, let's continue.
We're irrelevant.
I don't know. Like, I think like Craig Adams is a little bit of an outlier, but even for him, like I'm looking through his channel right now. I mean, he's got solid views.
Every video.
And like, it's not like, yeah. And it's his thumbnails and everything look really nice, but they're not like heavily edited or anything. Like they're not like artistic thumbnails. Some of them are, yeah. But like a lot of them are like, kind of like if you went to that spot and just shot a photo with your camera, didn't really do like Photoshop and all that fake like sky replacement and all that stuff. That's exactly how it would look. Mm-hmm. But I think he's a little bit of an outlier where I see like, and I think Chris, we were discussing this recently, where the amount of effort you put into a video does not necessarily equate how many views you're going to get. For sure. And I'm starting 100%. To notice that a lot more where people are like, you know, putting in like all these crazy like transitions and like, you know, cinematic effects and, you know, putting so much time into the storytelling and having like built out and everything, and the views are not there. And then you'll have somebody else that literally just picks up an iPhone, just quickly records something, puts it up, and it's got like a million views, right?
Again, so, we're going to the first point that I said, what's the resolution to that? We're ugly. We need to-
No, I don't think that is it, Emilio. But I appreciate your take on that.
Yeah, not all
you're,
of us.
You're good
not
looking.
All of us. Yeah. Not all of us.
Yeah.
Because Chris is an ambassador for a very good clothing company. So he's not
that. That doesn't mean I'm good looking.
Yeah,
I mean, they wouldn't come to you for clothing.
No, you are my model.
You're fashion.
The model of our heart. Yeah, we have a model here.
Okay, I'll take it. I don't get a lot of compliments, so I'll take it.
But I think it's and we see that, like, even for example, you break down channels like iPhone Doe, right? Like
we were saying, yeah, the other day,
probably one of the best, like, visually, like, you know, aesthetic channels on the internet that's doing tech stuff, right? And the good thing is he doesn't care, like, you know, like when he gets out there and he's filming, like, actually, like the shots and stuff like that, they're really nice shots. But I can tell he just is there having fun. He's doing what he likes, right? Yeah. But the moment if somebody's invested in to see, like, okay, I want this to get views, and then you're putting in that much time, you're just going to be disappointed and you're going to burn out.
Have you noticed something, though, Dasif, for Farooq?
Yeah.
His views are like that on his channel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We talked about that. And that's why I said it's important that you can tell that he's not really that caught up in his views. Because if somebody gets caught up in your views and you have that many subscribers and you're putting in... Actually, subscribers don't matter. But like, if you're putting that much effort, like his... like intro, his B-roll shots of like the products and everything.
Beauty.
They're probably
beauty,
the best on the internet. Yeah. They're
so
the best
have
on
you
the
met
internet.
Have you met with Farooq?
No, I haven't. I'd love to though.
Yeah. If people who hear the podcast or watch it on the YouTube, they want to see Farooq on this podcast, please let us know in the comments or send us email or send him message and tell him, what are you doing, Farooq? You need to be on Creativeless Podcast. Why haven't you been there? Because let's say to the audience that we're going to keep having guests on the podcast. That you're not going to listen to us all the time, but you're going to listen to us more often. Often or often.
We're just not going to commit to a guest because it's hard to have a guest lined up for every week.
And also something else. For those of you who are listening to our podcast from the very first day, we started by having a podcast for 1 hour, 1 hour and 50 minutes, 1 hour and 30 minutes. That was tiring as fuck for us and for the guests. So in order for us not to get burnt out again and not for you to wait 5 months to get a season three, we're going to keep it short. The podcast episodes are going to be short this time. You're going to listen to us while you're doing the treadmill, while you're driving to your work, while you do whatever you want.
So short, in fact, that this episode is going to end like right
now.